Good day, beautiful ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another great new year. Happy 2022 to each and every one of you. My name is Isaac Praise David Labby. Welcome back to In Isaac's Eyes. You know, we have to start off well on a very good and very high note. And of course, it is the In Isaac's Eyes Q&A special episode edition. And not to take too much of your time, because I know you all asked a lot of questions, which I am very, very grateful for. But without taking too much of your time, let me introduce the amazing and wonderful Mrs. Blessing Labby. So, mommy, welcome to the show. Welcome to the episode. Special guest. Please introduce yourself, because I cannot introduce you better than you, basically. What you do and everything.
Thank you so much, Isaac, for having me here today. I'm so grateful. I give God praise for the privilege to be here. And I thank God for what In Isaac's Eye is doing, reaching out and being a blessing. Just like I've been introduced, my name is Blessing David Labby. I am a relationship coach. And by the privilege of God, I have an interdenominational ministry for singles. We deal on marriage and relationship matters. And then there is also the section of it couples. And both the two are on Facebook, and also we have a coaching class on WhatsApp. The platforms have been there in operation for over 6 years, and God have indeed been so faithful. We've had a lot of miracle marriages, grooming the singles on how to step into godly, profitable Christian relationship. And even the marriage platform have been so amazing. All we are doing on the marriage platform is to ensure that harmony is enhanced in marriage relationship. The wife knows what is expected of her. The husband knows what is expected of him. The children know what is expected of them, so that the covenant of marriage can actually work and be actualized. So in a nutshell, these are things I do. I do counseling on marriage and relationship matters. And then I also preach and I teach. Thank you so much.
Well, as you all have heard, that's Miss Blessing for you. As you can see, where I got my abilities to talk a lot. But without taking too much of your time, let's go down to the questions in no proper order. And of course, you're all anonymous. Your names are not going to be mentioned. You're mentioned. So your secrets or your questions are safe with me. So first question, what is the secret to remain interested, to remain excited in a relationship once the chase is over? Once she says yes, how does one not get bored of it all when it becomes a routine?
The secret to remain excited in a relationship is just God. If that relationship is God-centered, it will constantly be new every day, new every day. Mm. Whatever has God at the center of it does not go the other way around. That is you getting tired and no longer excited about the whole thing. So the Bible says, when God is in a family, happy, happy home. The same way when God is in a relationship, it will keep moving from one level of glory to the other. And of course, the presence of God and then the two standing on the word of God, or living their lives by the word of God, and building the relationship by the standard of God's word makes it new. They get excited. Each day they are looking forward to meeting because there's something to talk about. There's something to talk about. And also, when a relationship is built on vision, it does not, it is never tiring. It does not lose its taste because vision keeps you motivated. Vision gives you energy to run. And then vision keeps alive. And that's why the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people are stripped of honor. So vision in relationship is important. Why am I in this relationship? What do I want out of this relationship? Why is it this person and not another person? You should be able to define all those things. So when such is defined and is in place, you won't feel bored in the relationship. So next question.
Wow. Okay. So let's take note. God basically is the only reason that.
Yes, you know why? Because God is relational. He created man, and he created man in his image and his likeness. Man too is relational. So if our relationship must not go out of the excitement box, we must do it the way God too would have done it. So since God is relational, we need to engage him, the master of relationship, in whatever we are doing. Once God is engaged and involved, the relationship will keep moving from one level of excitement to the other.
Amazing. Amazing. Speaking about God being relational, the next question says, what is it about human beings that just drives them to want to be in relationships? Can't we just exist? Please debunk this huge force that either pushes or pulls us into relationships, marriages, and all. Human beings have advanced in all forms of technology, medical, health, security, transport, and yet, despite all these prowess, we are overcome by mere emotions. So yes, what is it about
human beings? If you go back to Genesis, where God created Adam, the Bible says everything you have just mentioned was on ground. Everything was created. A beautiful garden that was supplying gold and silver. A beautiful home for Adam called Eden. All the creatures were there. But yet, the Bible says there was no helpmeet. There was no one Adam could relate with. And that was why God had to create Eve. So like I just said, that God himself is relational. Man is created to relate. So man can't do without relationship. Because at each point of your life, you have who you are relating with. You're either relating with your parent, or relating with your teachers, or relating with classmate, coursemate, friends, acquaintances. So if you look at the life of man, it revolves around relationship. Relationship in different forms, because we have different kinds of relationship. So man cannot do without relationship, because the DNA of relationship is in man, is embedded in man. So man is created to connect. Life is all about connecting. And that was the reason Eve had to come on the space. Why? Because God looked around and there was nobody Adam could relate with like him. So that was why he had to remove from Adam and made a species to look like him for the sake of relationship. So relationship is vital. Man can't do without it.
Amazing. So relationship is vital. Man can't do without it because we have a relational God. Hope that answers your question there, asker. And our next question says, I have seen this question a lot, and it's based on relationships, of course. And the question is 20 too young to get into a committed relationship?
You call it committed. At 20, is the young man or young lady committed to herself or himself? You can't be talking about commitment in relationship when you as an individual is not ready. The person in question, the first question you ask yourself is, are you ready to go into committed relationship? When you talk of committed relationship, it's a relationship you have committed yourself. You will marry, you have introduced yourself to maybe family or uncles or aunties, like that. So, but the first question is, it's not wrong if the 20-year-old has a job, is responsible and matured, has a vision, he has established himself or herself in the vision, knows why he is here on earth and is already running, pursuing it. Because it's not good for you to pursue vision and to not have discovered vision and then you are discovering marriage relationship. No, it will make the individual sick. So it's important that the individual find out the purpose for why he is created. If he or she have discovered purpose, then number two, do you have what it takes to fend for yourself, or are parents still paying school fees for you? If parents are still paying school fees for you, then you shouldn't be talking about going into a committed relationship. Who will take care of matters in the relationship? The Bible says that, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 5, that he that cannot, verse 8, cannot take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. So are you telling us that at that age, you have an income, stable source of income that will take care of someone else's daughter or even yourself or people that will come around you? Before Adam could talk of Mary meeting with Eve, he had a garden he was taking care of, a garden he was dressing, and everything Adam needed was already on ground. So Adam was not a child. Adam was a man, meaning he was responsible. How do I know that Adam was responsible? The Bible says all that God created, he brought to Adam. Adam single-handedly named all the creatures that God created. So meaning Adam was responsible because he didn't repeat the name of any animal. And then Adam was intelligent. He wasn't a novice. He was so intelligent. He understood God and he understood the power of responsibility and he maximized it. So you ask yourself all these things I've mentioned as a young man, as a young lady. Have you discovered vision? Are you pursuing it? And then are you matured to take up another person's, thus you become a shoulder for another person to lean on? Are you responsible? Can you take up responsibility of another person apart from your own? And then do you have a stable source of income? And if the answer is no, parents are still paying, I think what you need now is just a level of relationship that we call we are friends. You see, the word friendship is not bad. It is what we do in friendship that makes it bad. Friendship just means she is my friend, he is my friend. The truth is, a beautiful relationship begins better when the two begin as friends. You can just start as friends. I want you to be my friend. And then the friend, you are enhancing one another, you are building. When you discover you are ready and you are set for a relationship, then you can now move it to another level. Even relationship grows, just like human beings grow. Relationship is expected to be given the opportunity to grow from one level to the other. You don't jump or scale the level of growth of relationship. That's why in relationship, a lot of us are wounded because we don't follow it accordingly. We leave foundation, we go to building. So if you are like that, a builder, that you don't pay attention to the foundation, how can you build successfully? So that is what we do most of the time in relationship, that our relationship looks sick. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. y'all are giving a sermon today. Okay. Now, moving on to the next question. Just talking about the whole thing of finances as well. The next question is, how important is money, aka financial stability, in prepping for marriage and relationship? I feel you've answered that question, but if there's you want to add, is there anything you want to add?
I've answered.
Great.
I have answered.
So, to our dear,
the person needs, but money is a medium of exchange. Money is a voice. Money is a messenger. You can't talk of wanting to go into marriage relationship when you don't have money. Money is a currency, but it is important. It is needed. So you must have at least a stable source of income. Stable source of income.
Well, I hope you've heard that, ladies and gentlemen. Now to the next question. The person asking says, our grandparents married early. Today we are marrying later. Are we doing it better or are we losing it?
Our grandparents married early because that was what they know. We giving the same opportunity or a scenario of where they found themselves, we will repeat the same thing. Now people like to go to school, further their education. They want to acquire some certain things before they are married. In those days, nobody cares about CTs, beddings, television, fridge. But now all these things are necessary requirement, equipment for day-to-day use at home. So with the society, with the way the society changes, things are changing. People are getting enlightened. Before now, our forefathers don't have opportunity to read books on marriage. They have no place where they are taught to prepare for marriage, except the one they are taught at home by their parents. But now we have so many schools, online, offline, where you can enroll, how to prepare to be a good wife, to prepare to be a good husband. So you see, we have time. We like buying time to get ourselves fitted into the modern 21st century man, into the modern 21st century woman, before we talk of marriage. So the society has demand. The voice of demand is all over, on the waves, in the air. The voice of demand is loud. So, and it is mandatory we meet up with such demand before we marry. In those days, a young man can just go get a wife. They won't pay dowry much. They will be paying in bit. And then he is free to bring her into his father's house, because it is assumed in his father's house he has a room, a space for himself. But in today, it will look one kind for you to go and bring a wife and still be staying in your father's house. So you see, the atmosphere is getting enlightened about a lot of things. So there are changes. So that's why it is looking like we are not marrying early like our parents did. I wouldn't want to say what they did was wrong, and I wouldn't want to say what we are doing is the best. But just like I said, the train of changes is the reason we are doing also what we are doing. But you see, even in those their days, their marriages were working better than it is working today. Meaning that this thing is not about what the society says, it's about how you as an individual is prepared towards it and how you approach it. So your preparation into marriage will always determine your approach in marriage. We approach issues differently, and that is the same way we approach marriage differently. So, and this boils down to how we were trained, the things we learned and imbibed in our lives, and then our decision towards making it work. That's just it.
Wow. So speaking on this quote you just made, your preparation into marriage determines your approach to marriage. That's our next question. There are quite a few of them that are similar, so I'll just read all of them all together. Is there such a thing as being ready for a relationship, or can anyone ever actually be ready? Or when do you know you are ready to get married or marry?
Yeah, the place of preparation can never be played down with. What God did when he formed Eve, was a preparation. It wasn't the same time he removed the rib that Eve came. There was a process. Nobody knew the number of hours Adam was kept to sleep in order to help God prepare Eve for him. So there is the room for preparation. The Bible says Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And the scripture have admonished us to go to the ant and learn how to prepare. So preparation when it comes to relationship building, godly relationship, or building marriage is very important. You can't remove preparation because preparation equips you to build a successful relationship. So what you do in preparation is like equipping yourself. Just like a student goes to school to acquire knowledge so that he can operate a career, the same way preparation helps you to acquire knowledge so that you can operate or function well in marriage. So you personally will know as an individual when you are ready, because nobody can tell that one for you or say it for you. You are the one to know when you are ready based on the information and the knowledge at your disposal, the kind of training you've been exposed to. You know it when you know you are ready. By the time you meet with a man or meet with a lady, and then the relationship is successful, yielding result as you desire, that shows that the preparation you have given yourself is working. And it is a pointer that you are ready. So that is just it.
Amazing. I do hope you have been answered if you had that question or if you asked that question. On to the next. This is a very, very specific question to a specific gender, which is for women. The question is, how does a woman specifically know when she is ready to date, when she can finally say yes to someone? Does it depend only on which kind of man he is, or does it also depend on what state she's in her life? Now, this is a question for women specifically.
I think I've even answered it. She knows when she is ready to start a relationship, on how prepared is she to make a home. And she built herself to be a woman, because you can't marry as a girl. Is she a woman? Is she a wife? Proverbs tells us, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So when it comes to you becoming findable, you have to be a wife material. So in preparation, you prepare yourself to be somebody's wife. The question is, do I have what it takes to be a wife? Do I have what it takes to be a mother? If the answer is no, that shows you are not yet ready to start up a relationship. So before you start a relationship, I plead that a lady should equip herself. That's why we have an adage that says charity begins at home, but it does not end at home. You expose yourself, just give up yourself, open up yourself to the training your mother gives you at home. A lot of the times you discover young ladies contending with instructions at home, contending with discipline at home. They contend with virtually everything that their parents do or are not doing at home. such will not help you as a young lady. So as a young lady desiring to be equipped for a good marriage relationship, open up yourself and give yourself to be trained. The training at home, beautiful. The training in church, beautiful. What is that training going to do in your life? It's preparing you to be the woman, the wife, and the mother that is expected of you. These three, you must answer them. That is, answering means re-examining yourself to see if you have the qualities of these three in you. You won't be a good wife if you are not a good woman. You won't be a good mother if you are not a good wife. So what makes you good as a woman is the quality of character you've been able to build in your inside. So you now sit down and find out, what kind of fruit do I exhibit? Because the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. What kind of fruit do I exhibit? Am I exhibiting the fruit of a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother? Am I a virtuous woman? All this, you need to sincerely sit down and ask yourself, what character quality have I been able to cultivate in me that makes me unique, that makes me outstanding?
Amazing. What character quality makes you unique and makes you outstanding? I do hope you've gotten the answers that you need, dear listener. And on to the next. I will be merging these two questions because they are quite similar. So it says, does God sometimes want us to date people who we will not end up with? If so, why? Is that character development really necessary? And to add on to that, are situationships good or bad? In fact, can they be avoided? If so, how can I, as a young woman or as a young man, avoid them?
You said a question that, does God want what?
Does God want us to date people who we will not end up with? If so, why?
Relationship, when you are in relationship, it's not a must that somebody you are relating with, you must end up marrying. People come into our life for different reasons. Huh? Some come to enhance us. Some come to polish us. Some comes to teach us wisdom. And people come into our life for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So as an individual, you must just learn to appreciate the different season, the different purpose, why people are in your life.
Amazing, amazing.
Did I answer the question?
Yes, I believe you have. To the question that was following after that, are situationships good or bad? In fact, can they be avoided? If so, how can they be avoided?
You for said, a young woman? Come again.
Situationships in... Situationships are terms used for people who are uncertain about each other and they have not made proper actions or taken proper steps on identifying if it's a relationship or not. So they end up in a situationship where it cannot be identified. It's like it's a moment of stasis for both of them. So this person is asking, is it good or is it bad, and how can it be avoided?
That is people coming into relationship without defining, and yes, then at the end does not end up in a in a way they expected, Abby.
Yes.
You can't avoid such. You can't avoid such in relationship. Because you are still building, you are bound to meet the ugly, the beautiful, and the one the best. So when you meet such kind, and then you discover the thing is not working, you just push it aside and move forward. The Bible says when the wine at the marriage in Canaan of Galilee, got exhausted, and then it was looking like a shameful situation. Instantly, a remedy came. So that this one does not work does not mean that you won't get another one that will not work. You are bound to meet another that will work better, and you will be thanking God that, thank God, you were able to even leave that one, or that one left you. So that's how it is.
Amazing. And now this is just a little question in relation to the previous one. The person is asking, to me, we are both interested in each other and are talking and hanging out to know each other more, so that we decide if we want to date or be in a relationship. But to others around us, it looks like we are in a relationship because we talk alone for hours and sometimes hold hands. What do I do in such a situation?
What do you do? You do nothing. The best is to explain to people we are friends. The two of you know that you are friends, so let it be known to everybody. When people ask or people are talking, you introduce yourselves as friends to people around you. So you don't start a relationship because people are talking. That would be dangerous for both the people involved. You start a relationship because you are convinced or convicted about each other. You don't start a relationship because people are saying that two of you are in a relationship. So you, the two in that situation, are the ones to explain to people, no, that is not what we are into. We are just friends. And this is where we are for now. That's how it should be.
I do hope that person was absolutely answered. Now, on to the next without waste of time. What in marriage is not as single people imagine it? As in, what is it that happens in marriage that many people are not aware of? What is it that happens in marriage that many single people are not aware about?
What is it in marriage?
Yes, that many single people are not aware about.
What is it that they are not aware?
You know, sometimes some people imagine marriages to be completely...
There is nothing. I'm listening.
To be completely, what's the word? Free of disagreement. It's always heaven every second and every moment of each and every waking day. So something like that. Like, is it?
It depends. You see, relationship. This thing you people are asking, some of these your questions, or suspecting more better questions. Some of these things you are asking, they are just not tangible. Definitely relationship differ. Relationship is the way, the way you lay your bed, the way you make your bed is the way you lie on your bed. There are relationships you meet that are very sweet, heaven on earth. So everything about relationship is the way both of you that are in that relationship set it up for yourselves. The understanding with which you are running it, the dividend is determined by the investment you put into it. So we can't say the two different relationships are alike. No. Two homes are alike. No.
On to the next question. Complement or complete? What is it supposed to be? Can't it be both? Like today, the talk is have your life together. Find your happiness first and then find a partner to complement you. It is really inward looking and self-centered from one perspective. Probably the effect of a hurting people trying to limit the access to heartbreak. Anyway, what is the approach? You find someone to complement or you find someone to complete you?
It's to complement you. There's nothing like complete. The only person that can complete us is God. So in relationship, it is all about complementing one another. That is all. If you're looking for somebody to complete you, that you can never get someone that will complete you, because that person is also not complete. So how can an incomplete person complete another? So we are complete in Christ, and then in relationship we complement one another.
Amazing. I hope you have been answered. So the next one is, what advice do you have concerning physical boundaries in Christian relationships?
Physical boundaries are very important. The individual in relationship are expected to set the physical boundary by themselves. You set it knowing that the Bible says marriage is honorable only when the bed is not defiled, Hebrews 13:4. So if you are a child of God and you have the love of God in you and you have the fear of God in you, you'll be able to set physical boundaries. What do we mean by physical boundaries? Setting up your demarcation. Let me use that word. Allow me use that word. That is, we are not to see at social time when it is odd. No, all night, only two of us together in the guy's house. Like that, these are physical boundaries. No romance, no kiss. Because the Bible says, do not stir up love until you are ready for it. You know you are not ready for anything that will pollute the relationship. Then why are you introducing kissing, romancing, and then say you are saying that it won't have any effect? It will definitely have. Because the pigeon man said, body no be wood. You can't carry fire in your bosom and then not expecting it to burn you. So setting up physical boundaries in relationship, especially for the child of God, is very, very necessary. In fact, that should be number one thing you guys should do, and then you set a discipline on it. Bishop Oyedepo told his wife when he met her, he said, the day I try to sleep with you, may leprosy come on me. That is his own way of setting a physical boundary over him, his life, over that relationship. So doing it is not a sin. In fact, it's very, very necessary and it's important.
Amazing. So on to our next question. My question is it proper for a single lady to marry a single guy who has a child already?
Why not? There's nothing wrong as long as the lady loves the guy and she's sure God is involved in the relationship and she has love for that child. Very important, because children are the heritage of the Lord. So that child is not is heaven's property. So why should you deny a man you love because he has a child? What if it was you, the lady, that has that child? So it's not a sin. But just know and be sure that God is leading you and God is involved.
Amazing. On to the next question. How do you heal from trust issues? For example, I've been hurt so many times by people who lie to me, and then this genuine person comes along and all I can do is chase them away because I don't trust anyone.
You rebuilding trust is difficult, it's hard, it's taxing. But at the same time, you have to make a decision to trust again. First, ask yourself a question. How many times have I failed God? How many times have I failed who? God. How many times have I failed God? Have God totally distrust me? If the answer is no, then you don't have the right to distrust another man or another woman. All you need to do is to just give the person another chance. The Bible says the righteous man falleth 7 times and 7 times he rises again. Give the person another chance to prove himself or herself. So that's how it is. So trust can be built, but you have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional. You have to do it consciously. It's something you have to do consciously. And it's not something you expect God to come down and do for you. You must make up your mind, I want to trust again.
So it's a personal decision and it's something you have to do for yourself.
It's a personal decision.
The next question, this person is just asking for advice for long distance relationship. So she is in a long distance relationship with her boyfriend and she needs words of advice on how, or words of encouragement on what to do in that moment of long distance.
Long distance relationship requires constant communication. The doors of communication must be open. And the two involved in a long distance relationship must be sincere and open to each other. They must be sincere. When the two are not sincere and open, you will have problems. And then trust is important in long distance relationship. The two must trust each other absolutely. Absolute trust. And even though long distance, at least once in a while, schedule a visit. It's important.
So I do hope that person has been answered. So
you maximize your social media handle. You can make video calls. So video calls bring the two of you close. It's as if you are even seated in the same room. So you make video calls, talk to each other like that. Very important.
Well, I do hope you've been answered sincerely. And on to the next. How do you tell a friend you have feelings for them without ruining the friendship?
It depends. If the person is not mature to handle it, don't even say it. Or you jokingly just say it, I love you so much. I wish you can just leave it half a statement and just turn it to something, to another discussion. Because if you meet someone who is not mature and you're dropping that, the person might be scared away from you. So it's important that you check the maturity level of that person. That's one. Number two, like I said initially, don't stir up somebody's emotion. So to me, there are things you swallow. You swallow not mean, you just keep it to yourself. You just keep it to yourself or push it just aside. You push it just aside.
Level of maturity.
Or you bring it up as a joke. Yeah, level of maturity, very important. You can say that to another person. I have crush for you. I have crush for you. Another person will take it as he's just joking, she's just joking. But another will take it serious. So it depends on the kind of person you are dealing with and also the maturity level of that person.
All right, the next question is, I am scared of dating because of past experiences. My family is full of divorcees and I really don't want something that is temporary. Then nowadays, people come to other people's lives with malice and most of the time love is not genuine. I've had some friends who have taken complete advantage of me and I feel like nowadays people date for fun. And I don't want to waste my time or any other person's time.
Why should what has happened in your family put fear on you, the person asking? You must learn to separate yourself from event in your family. Learn to separate yourself from event in your own life. That things are failing around you does not mean it will fail with you. No, you have to believe in yourself that your own case would be different and that this thing will work in your hand, then it will work. But once you don't have faith in yourself and then you accept the norm that this thing is bound to happen since it has happened to other people around me, it will definitely happen to you. But if you believe in your heart that this thing will not happen with me, even though it has happened to people around me, it will not happen to you. It's as far as your eyes can see. And it is what you believe can happen to you that can happen to you. So those ones that their marriages or relationship fail, it failed because of their own level of understanding. It failed because they agreed, they accepted. The Bible says, blessed is he or she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of what he or she believes. Do you believe you will have a divorce? God will perform it. Do you believe that you won't have a divorce? God will perform it. So your belief system in this regard is of paramount importance.
Amazing. On to the next question. The person is asking, what kind of topics can you and your partner have before getting married?
There are so many topics. There are so many issues. The most important thing is to find out passion. What is the passion? What is your passion? What is my passion? You talk about passion. You talk about vision. What drives you? And then you talk about the picture of a home that person, individual, is believing God for. The reason you're asking this question is to see if his or her own vision of a home agrees with yours. And then you find out questions on how much of God does this person know? What do you believe in terms of doctrinal practices from God's word? Do you speak in tongues? Do you believe in water baptism by immersion? Things you believe in, very, very important. Because if you don't find out all these things after the marriage or the wedding, that will be the point where the two of you will start disagreeing from. So find out all these things because they are essential and they matter in the marriage relationship. So to me, these are the vital things you discuss. A time will come, then you start talking about the kind of home you want, how you want your home setting to be, how you want the two of you to relate, how you want your children to behave, and then how you want to relate with in-laws, friends, how you want your home, that is the atmosphere of your home, to look like. It goes like that. And a time will come, this one we advise people 2 weeks to the wedding. You talk about sex. But talking about sex early is wrong because you are stirring up love when you are not ready for it. So everything, there are things to talk about, but they come when you are at a particular stage of the relationship. And I would encourage all of you that are young people to look for this book by written by Bimbo Odukoyo of Blessed Memory, How to Choose a Life Partner. She wrote some questions at the back of the book, of this book. I think after the last chapter, questions to ask during relationship. These are questions you ask at different level, because even family background, what does your family believe in? All these things you are expected to ask to find out, because it will guide you into understanding who the person is, and then on how to also build the relationship that two of you are involved in.
Amazing. On to the next question. My question is it right to marry a man who is God-fearing, prays, but does not go to attend physical service, and is just recovering from depression which has put him into an act, which is smoking? He's trying to stop, but being a woman and a minister who must attend church services, is it okay to marry such a person?
I don't know what to tell this person. How can you marry somebody who is going through the challenge of depression? Allow the person to heal. Help the person to heal first. So pedal on the issue of marriage. let the person heal. Once the person is healed and the person have regained his or herself, then you talk about marriage. You can't be talking about marriage when somebody is not himself or herself. And the issue of church attendance, it is important. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, we are not to forsake the gathering of brethren together. So there is the place of gathering together. We are online because a situation came up, and that's why we resorted to going online. But now that the situation has subsided, go back to the actual service. Go to where we said, do not forsake the assembly of brethren together. As someone who loves to be only online, 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 to me, it's not healthy. It's not healthy because now the government have allowed church services to hold. So what stops you from going? And then the person is depressed. Please allow the person to heal first before you talk about marriage.
I do hope that person has listened to that advice. On to the next. How do you know the difference, or how do you tell the difference between a man who is truly pursuing you and one who is after his own interest? Because some of these men can really lie to us and make us look stupid.
By their fruit, you shall know them. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Mm. By their fruit, you know them. Matthew 7:20, you need the Holy Ghost. Nobody can know a man like the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to engage the Holy Ghost. He will let you know. You will know when a man is not truthful. You will know as a lady. So all this thing boils to the individual personal relationship with God too. As a lady, before you start a relationship, develop a strong relationship with God. When you have a strong relationship with God will teach you how to relate with a man. And there's no way the man can cheat you.
Amazing. Relationship with God, very important. On to the next. How do you communicate with your friends, or especially the opposite gender, that you have changed and you're in a relationship? Basically, how do you communicate with your friends to keep boundaries now that you are now in a relationship?
How will you communicate? You tell them you have started a relationship, and then if you were playful with them, you start reducing. Personally, the person involved is the one to start setting boundaries. The person starts setting boundaries. The excesses you were allowing before, you stop. Then you have to let everybody around you know you are in a relationship, and this is where the relationship is heading to by the grace of God.
Now, on to our last and final question. Are there red flags in friendships? We all know about red flags in relationships, but are there red flags in platonic friendships? Could you give some examples?
There are red flags. Red flags. Number one, when you confide in the person and then you now hear it somewhere else, it's a red flag. That shows that's not a confidant. That's not somebody who, because a platonic friend is expected to be a confident friend, someone you can confide in. But when the person confides in you and you hear it somewhere else, it's a red flag. It's a red flag. And then when the person is backstabbing you, it's a red flag. He smiles with you, you believe you have a friend, but meanwhile you are being backstabbed from behind. It's a red flag. We have so many of them like that. When you can't trust the person, it's a red flag. I believe I have answered.
Well, thank you so much, Ma, for your time. We're really grateful. We do hope that everyone's questions, my God, were answered to their satisfaction. So we do have, for Mrs. Blessing Labi, she does have her platforms on Instagram. Facebook and on WhatsApp. So if you are really, really interested and you would like to join and experience this coaching or this family of building each other in the knowledge on how to prepare yourself for marriage, or you're already in a marriage and you want to learn how to maintain it and what to do in some certain situations and circumstances, you can reach out to her on Instagram, which is at Blessing Labby. They also have a Singles Get Ready Instagram account at Singles Get Ready, and they also have a Facebook page, and also you can follow her on Facebook. Please feel free to reach out to her and she shall answer all your questions that are needed, and she shall support you if you need her as a coach in your marriage or in your relationship. Thank you so much. Do hope you have an amazing day, and please feel free to share, like, and subscribe on this great podcast of ours, and hope you have an amazing day ahead or an amazing year as we continue. Take care.
Thank you for listening to With Isaac's Eyes podcast. Please do not forget to share and subscribe. You can find us on all podcast platforms, e.g. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please do not forget to follow me on Instagram at @big_isaac1822, @big_isaac1822. And you can also hit me up on my email, isaaclabby25@gmail.com. isaaclabby25@gmail.com. Thank you for your time. Have a lovely day.